Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today as people who have much but are still needy. We are needy people. We need you, and we need your touch. We need to hear from you. We need to know that you're with us, Lord. And the way we do that is to, among other things, is to gather here on Sunday and to receive your Spirit as we worship you in spirit and in truth. And so we pray that that would happen today. And we pray for your blessing. We pray for your word. We pray for our speaker today. We pray that you would help him to tell us what we need to hear and help us to be receptive to what he has to say. And Father, we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Okay, I guess David Kennedy probably needs no introduction, but Dave Kennedy. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. I got to tell you, I've enjoyed the music the three Sundays that I've been here. Your worship teams have been awesome. It's really been a blessing. We're going to continue my theme. And if you haven't gathered it already, God has really laid something on my heart here over the latter portion of my life anyway, about the need to get the gospel out. This is the heart of God. Today we're going to be coming to the Lord's Supper in a little bit. We're going to truly hear and see and recognize what his heart is all about. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Any, all. You got it? Any, all. And he calls us to join him in that heart. When the heart of God has come in and changed us and moved us, then we can't help but share that good news. You can't help but do it. I'm going to ask you again, as I have the other weeks, how many of you invited somebody to come to church this week? Well, we got a little bit better. We got a long way to go. How many of you talked to somebody outside of your home about Jesus this week? That's better, all right? But it still isn't great. Because we are living in the middle of lost people. And I find that there's people who are lost who sit right underneath our nose. I've gone beside the bedside of many people, and I'll ask them, so tell me about how things are between you and the Lord. And I've had people say this to me. Well, things have been better since I've been going to church. I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask about what church. I asked, how is it between you and the Lord? There's a difference there. All right? How is it between you and the Lord? This week, on Tuesday, I was at Buffalo General Hospital, seeing an individual that had gone into the hospital and had a hip replacement. You know, typically a very simple surgery, it turned out to be very simple for him. But see, God had another purpose in mind. This man's had like 11 surgeries over the last couple of years. And he said, I've handled it myself over all this time. And I've been going to church. And I've been going to the chapel. I've been going to Eastern Hills. I've been going to other churches, you know. And in fact, he said, I'd like to be able to host a community group where I live. And he told me where he lived and so forth. And sounds like, you know, this is cool. This guy's got it together. He's already a believer. Not so fast, Dave. Tell me about your relationship with Jesus. Tell me how you came to faith in Christ. Well, I was baptized as a baby. I actually got rebaptized as an adult when I was down in Florida. That's not telling me anything yet. I want to know about your relationship with Jesus. And we started talking about that. And this gentleman says to me, you know what? The way you're describing it, to have a relationship with Jesus, I really don't have one, I guess. What are you going to do about it? He said, I'd like to ask Jesus into my heart. See, this is getting to the crux of the matter here, folks. There's people that are carrying the weight of the world on their shoulder, and yet if you talk to them right up front, you would think that everything is just fine. How can it be doing so well? But you got to get down into the heart of the matter, because that's where Jesus' heart is. And I find that God many times puts us into a place where he can get our attention and truly talk to us. Sometimes it's in a hospital room. Sometimes it's other situations. People lose their jobs. Their family's falling apart. A lot of that going on, isn't there? Okay, all around. And they realize that, you know, I thought I could handle it all, and you can't handle it all. But we got a Heavenly Father who loves us and can. And so today, I'm going to talk about living life missionally, because when Jesus came, he came on a mission. He came to do the will of the Father. And he's called us to come along with him. Anybody who declares to be a follower of Jesus has been invited to come along with him and join him on mission. And let me tell you something. When you're on mission with the Lord, it's a blast. It's not without its difficulties, but I want to tell you, it's full of excitement. There's new things, new activities going on all the time. And when you, if you have never done this, the first time that you were involved having bringing birth to a person coming into relationship with Jesus, a person's being born from above, whether you invited him, someone else was there serving like as the doctor, you know, but you're there because you brought him to the delivery room, and then you're there when they accept Jesus, let me tell you something. There's something that wells up in your soul, and there's so much joy and happiness. Listen, even the angels in heaven rejoice. There's parties going on in heaven when one sinner comes to repentance. It's party time. It's party time. If you haven't experienced that, friends, you're missing out. In fact, my question to you is this. Have you examined your own relationship with Jesus? You may be sitting here today and you don't really know what that means. You're going to church. But do you have a relationship with Jesus? Or maybe you can look back and you can say, yeah, when I was a teenager, maybe right here in the youth group in this church, I gave my heart to Jesus. Okay, how's it been since? It's really grown cold, really. I'm going through the motions. I'm trying to do it. You don't have to try. Love transcends it all. We do things out of love. You see, there's things that we do, not because we have to do it. We do it out of love. I'm in a relationship with a woman, my wife. And there's things that I will do for her, and I continue to do it for her. You know why? Because I love her. Because I love her. I read a story from a gentleman. I'm seeing a lady whose mind is totally gone, unfortunately. Serious Alzheimer's. And her husband sent me a thing this week. And he's a godly man and such a blessing. And even in the facility where she's at, when he goes in, I mean, all the people, the staff all know him. Such a godly guy in there. And the account went on in this story about, why do you bother to keep coming in here? Your wife doesn't know who you are. She wouldn't know if you're here or not. He says, no, but I know my wife. I know my wife. And every night he'd be there at dinner time to help feed her. Make sure she gets tucked into bed just right. Because I know my wife. What does that? That's love. That's love. And that's a picture of God's love for us. That even when we say, I once walked with God, and maybe today I'm not as much there as I used to be, God still knows you. God knows every one of you. He knows everything that's on your heart. And in love, he says the words of that song, come to me. And you come just as you are today. No pretenses. No pretenses. So quickly, I'm going to share some notes and some references to Scripture with you that you can write down. You know, we need to engage in sharing the gospel with people who do not know Christ. You need to engage with people. You need to recognize who are some of those people that you can engage with. People that need Jesus in their lives. Because they're all around us. They're all around us. They're in the grocery store. They're at the gas station. You know, they're pumping gas on the other side from you. All right? There's people that need Jesus. There's young people today. They're looking for direction. They really don't know what their purpose in life is. It's party, have a good time. But where's it going to take them, really? Where's it going to take them? And so why should we engage in sharing the gospel? And I'm going to give you three reasons for it. The first is for the glory of God. For the glory of God. We're here to bring glory to God. Isaiah 12, verses 3 to 5 says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people. You got that? Declare his doings among the people. Make mention of his name is exalted. Bring glory. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Wow. That's one of the reasons. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be, anyone know the next word? Glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages. Listen, folks, if we're doing what we're supposed to do to bring glory to God, this church right here will be filled. It will be filled. Okay? I don't question that at all. But we got to be about it. And that's why I'm going to keep challenging you. You'll get tired of me. You want me out of here pretty soon. You want that interim pastor in here real fast. Okay? And the elders know I'll step aside any time. I got a lot of things that God's got going for me, too. But he's called me here for now, for such a time as this. And they say, you know, you can come and you can run away. Yeah, I can, all right? But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. So we're to do it for the glory of God. Secondly, we are commanded by our Lord. All four Gospels give us the great commandment. You know that? All four Gospels give us the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. You all know that one. But in Mark 16, 15 to 16, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How do I go into all the world? I'm going to tell you something. The world starts right here. Right here. You go to Western New York, live here in Western New York with me. You know the world's coming to our doorsteps? Go to Walmart. Go to Walmart down on Walden Avenue. Probably one of the closest. Well, you got one up in Clarence, too. But go to one down on Walden Avenue. You'll see the world right there. You're going to hear multiple languages being spoken there. People dress differently than typically you would dress. Why? The world's here. And you know what? As we present the gospel to people, they take it back. They get the word back once they've given their hearts to Jesus. We have the opportunity. Or sometimes God allows us to go, as our sister's doing, to go to Uganda. It is Uganda, right? Go to Uganda this week, okay? Whether you go there or not. I never believed I would be traveling to foreign soil for many, many years of my life. I never believed that. Then God gave me the opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic. Okay? I'm grateful for those opportunities. I thought traveling through Canada was great. Now I fly over the ocean. Wow. How cool is that? Especially in January. You can go in January. What better place to go in January than the Dominican Republic? Serve the Lord. Watch people come to Jesus. That's the joy. That's the thrill. So we are commanded by our Lord. Luke 24, 44 to 49 gives us a great commission. John 20, 21 says, "So Jesus said unto them, Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And of course, Acts 1, 8. "You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me." And then thirdly, why we should engage in sharing the gospel. Because we are commanded, because people are in desperate need. People are in desperate need. When you go to the book of Romans, chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, in Romans 3, if you look at verses, particularly verses 9 through 20, you're going to find there an exposition of the needs of this world. People are desperately lost. Everything that we can read in the press today and see on television today, from what you name the networks, it's out there. It's all over the place. You go on the internet, it's there. It's a picture of the desperate need of people. And then Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God." That's a pretty damning statement. Everybody has sinned. That's you, that's me, that's the Pope. I'm just saying. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. I only know one person that ever walked on the face of this earth without sin. And that's the one that we're going to celebrate in just a few moments when we come before the Lord's table. Because that person is Jesus Christ, who bore your sins and my sins in his own body on the tree, that we can be set free. In Ephesians chapter 3, I just want to, if you got your Bibles with you, I'd like you to look at this one, just a couple of verses, and or three verses actually. In Galatians or Ephesians chapter 3. And please follow along as I read. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard," I'm sorry, chapter 2. It wasn't making sense to me there why I wanted that one. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you follow the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." What's that verse say? It says we're dead. Have you ever seen a dead person ever do anything? In my line of work, in rescue work and so forth, for 29 years, I work on a lot of dead people, trying to revive them. I never saw a dead person ever do anything. I just haven't done it, okay? There's when I come alongside of somebody who has died and we're trying to revive them, And we may be doing CPR and maybe giving some meds and so forth. We'll work on them like that. And perhaps by the grace of God, they might start showing some signs of life and coming back, but they didn't do it on their own. They needed someone to intervene for them. Because dead people can't do anything. And the Bible is clear that we are dead. We are dead in our sins. You can't do anything. But then somebody comes along and shares what God has done for us. And you know what? Well, I just read for you there in Ephesians says that we're following our own cravings. And many people today are following their own cravings. The things that will profit nothing will actually destroy them. Whether it be drugs, whether it be sex, whether it be alcohol, which is a drug, all these things will destroy us. Even education can destroy us because it can take us away from God. God's the answer. And he sent it, his answer was put into a person form in Jesus Christ, who came and took all of that for us. People are in desperate need. How many have ever heard of the 1040 window? Anybody hear of the 1040 window? Okay. If you take your map, the globe, and if you take latitudes 10 and 40, and in those all around the world, those latitudes, the 1040 window it's called, 60% of the world lives there in a state that they know not Jesus. What countries does that take in? North Africa, India, part of China, okay, Pakistan, Afghanistan, all the Middle East, okay, it's all there. Indonesia. And these are people that have, don't even know the name of Jesus. Don't even know the name of Jesus. People are in desperate need. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? There's a marvelous work going on right now among some of those people. God is at work. God is at work. I recently had the privilege of meeting a man and woman who are working in Jordan. They have a ministry over there. They're natives. They were brought up in the Muslim faith, but they gave their hearts to Jesus. And they have a tremendous ministry. A lady has just become a social worker, the only woman social worker in the country of Jordan, and she's a Christian. And pointing people to Jesus. And their lives are marked. They're marked for their faith. But they continue on for Jesus' sake. When I talk about people who are in desperate need, Mark chapter 9, verses 47 to 48 says, hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, is what awaits people who do not know Jesus. Again, we're going to be thinking about him today. We realize what he bore for us on that terrible cross. Second, who are the people that God desires to use in his redemptive mission? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we learn that every person who belongs to Jesus, every person who belongs to Jesus. So today, have you professed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If you have, that you're the one that he's going to use. You are a chosen people. And it says to proclaim him. to others. That's our job. We have been chosen. Listen, all politics aside, if the President of the United States, whether it be Donald Trump or any other, called you today and says, I'm choosing you to represent the United States of America somewhere, it would be all over. That would be an honor, regardless of who that president is. Why? It's because it's representing our country, right? And it would earmark you to do that. The Word of God says, you have been chosen. I have been chosen. We're a royal priesthood, every one of us. The priest isn't the person sitting in the front. The priest is every child of God sitting right here. We're a royal priesthood, chosen of God to take that message. What an honor. What a privilege to represent the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Every follower of Jesus has been empowered by the Spirit of God to be his witness. Again, Acts 1:8. And every follower of Jesus is God's ambassador entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now then, you are ambassadors for Christ. God beseeches you, for Christ's sake, to tell that news. It's so important for us to know that, folks. So, what is our first step? And here's the application I want you to take from our thoughts today. Here's the application. It's important for each of us to identify our personal mission field, because your mission field is different than mine. Your circle of friends, your circle of influence is different than mine. I can pray for you, you can pray for me. But we have to put the legs under it and go out and tell. Who's your mission field? Young people that are in the room today, going back to school. What an opportunity. The gospel's needed in your schools. The gospel's needed in your schools. And praise God for young people that are taking that, standing firm, holding true to the values taught in the Word of God. That's not popular. It's also true, not popular in our workplaces today. I had an acquaintance of ours that's a strong witness for Jesus Christ. She works at a local hospital in the physical therapy department. And this week she got a notice from the hospital that she was to appear to the administrator's office the next day with a union representative. And all she could think of, okay, here it goes again. Someone's complaining. I must have said something about Jesus that somebody took offense at. And she asked what it was about, and the supervisor said, don't worry about it, just come on in. I think we'll be all right. And here's what it was. When she got in there, a co-worker had complained. The co-worker had been in a homosexual relationship and was getting divorced from the partner because the partner was cheating on her. And so she came to this person. What's this person going to do? She's a believer. So she talks to her friend, the co-worker. And she said, Jesus has got a plan for you. And she gives her a New Testament, and she gives her a copy of a book that I would recommend to you. It's just coming out. It's by Carrie Cardinale, who has been in the chapel, but she goes out a lot singing now. She's got a musical ministry. But Carrie was saved from that lifestyle, and only in the last few months, only about 3-4 months ago, Carrie got married to a godly man. God saved her from that, and she's written that down, and she's gotten a lot of hate mail for that. But it's a godly testimony. So my friend gave her this book, and that set it off. And now this person goes and complains to administration. Well, when they met, it all settled down. God went before her. A lot of people were praying for her. And that friend said, I was just upset. No, I haven't read the book. But obviously, she's read part of the book because she knew what was in it. But she thanked her for caring for her after the complaint. Sometimes you got to stand up. Some of you know that I was a transportation supervisor. I had started at Sweet Home Schools, and I started in August in 1991, just a few weeks before school opened. And it was, it's a big step for me. I was going from Little Holland and going up to Amherst, and I didn't know much about Amherst, but I'd gotten this job, and I went in there, and now a few weeks later, school is about to open, and by law, there has to be a meeting with all the bus drivers before they can start driving that year. There has to be a refresher class and so forth. And I was about to teach that. Well, I'm the new guy in the block, so I went in, and I stood before the group, and I just said, you probably wonder who this new guy is, and let me just tell you a little bit about me, and then I'll move on to the lesson. So I did, and I mentioned that my formal training was for ministry, to be a pastor, and but I'm not here to try to push religion or anything like that on you, but I am going to tell you this, that my door is open to you, and if there's anything that's disturbing you or, I want you to be the best employee you can be, and God can help us with that. And so if you would like me to pray for you and you come to me, I will be happy to pray for you. I'll not come to you, but if you want to come to me, you're welcome to do that. And, went on with the class. The next day, my boss walked in. I'm new there, right? I'm on probation. I just left a secure position. Everybody knew me out in Holland, and now I'm coming into this place. And I stand there before my boss, and he says to me, how'd it go yesterday, Dave? And I don't know. As far as I know, it went all right. It seemed to be good reception among everybody, and, good, we're getting ready to get started. He said, I heard you talked about prayer. And I had to think about that. I said, yeah, I guess I did use the word prayer once. He said, this is Sweet Home. We don't talk about prayer here. I said, excuse me? He said, no, you got to leave that out of it. Separation of church and state. And I said, in all due respect, I want to tell you this. The President of the United States has asked us to pray for America. Congress opens in prayer every day. And if one of my employees comes to me and asks me to pray for them, I will pray for them. If that violates the principles here, then I guess I'm not the one for this job. He said, I'm telling you, you need to cool your jets. And with that, he walked out of his room, out of my room. I thought, well, that's a great start to the new year, new job. I'm going to be out on the street here pretty soon. I went about my work, and I had to deal a lot with my boss about the business of running the department and so forth. He was the assistant superintendent. And later that year, his mother was dying in the South Buffalo Mercy Hospital. I was still living in Holland, so I was going back and forth down 90 past the infamous Blue Water Tower. I'd go by that every day and go down to 400. And I said, she's at South Buffalo Mercy. I knew he had left work to go over to be with his mother. And so as I left my work that day, I said, you know what? I'm going to go over and stop up and see him. I can go right into intensive care there as a pastor and go and do that. And I went in, and he was kind of surprised to see me. And we chatted a little bit. And I shared my thoughts, my concerns for him and his mom. And before I was about to leave, and I said, with your permission, I'd like to pray for you and your mom. It's difficult times right now. He says, whatever you think you need to do. That was his answer. He was kind of a hard guy. Can you tell? And so I prayed for him. And it was it. He thanked me. When I got done praying, tears were running down his eyes, his cheeks. Tears were running down his cheeks. And I left him. And I went home. A few months later, we're getting to the end of the school year, and the administrative staff was getting together with the superintendent of schools. And I got a message, an email from the superintendent of schools. It says, Dave, when we have our luncheon today, would you mind saying grace? Sometimes you got to stand out for Jesus. That's what it costs. But you see, we run and hide. Listen, I serve someone greater than anybody else on this world. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if he wants me there, he'll see the way through it. If he doesn't want me there, he's got someplace else for me to go. I don't need anybody else to watch over me. I got him. I say that to challenge you. Who is our mission field? My mission field was the work right then. I'm grateful as a pastor I had to work outside because I was out where everybody else is. And so what I'm telling you that I know what it is to be in a workforce somewhere and have to take your stand for Jesus. It's important for us to identify it. You've been sent back to reach them. So who are the believers and the non-believers? I'm going to remind you of Mark chapter 5. Verses 1 through 20, there's a story about Legion. Do you remember Legion? He was not a nice dude. He was a maniac. he was demon-possessed. Literally. Okay. And verse 19 of Mark 5 says this. Jesus telling Legion, after he'd cast out, set him free. Here's what he said. Go home, tell your friends what great things the Lord hath done for you and how he has had compassion on you. When you've been set free from your sin, tell others. If you're not willing to confess Christ before others, what's Jesus say? I'll not confess you before the Father who is in heaven. In closing, I came across this little illustration. I hope you'll just listen and think on this. Picture in your mind a precipice at the foot of which is a deep ocean. And that deep ocean is foaming up as it comes up and as it crashes against the waves. I think about the state of Maine. I love Maine. I go up there. That's where our family is originally from. Suppose by that precipice, a procession consisting of men, women, and children, moving on night and day, two abreast, and at the rate of 2 miles an hour. And suppose that when they reached the precipice, they threw themselves over and were engulfed in the devouring waters. You got that picture in your mind? Now suppose that you lived in a cottage by that precipice. And you heard the ceaseless scream and the shriek and the loud agony of those perishing amid the billows. Let me ask you, could you live in that house? Day and night, young and old, you're hearing the screams of people perishing. Would it be possible to remain quiet? Or would you not rush forth and try to arouse the neighborhood to prevent those deluded persons from destroying themselves? Think on that. Think on that. That ought to drive us to reach people for Jesus, because there is an eternity and the choice is made now. Either go to heaven because the person has put their faith in him, or they're going to hell where it's fire, it's pain, it's agony, day in and day out. Met one young lady at a state park one day. A friend of mine and I were going in down in the Finger Lakes area. We were camping there. she saw my boat. I was pulling my boat, camped down there and fish. Oh, fisherman, hey, I like fishing. She says, my dad taught me all about fishing. I said, yeah, you know what that means? She said, yeah, I love fishing. I said, no, it's a little more than that. I said, do you know Jesus is your Savior? Not really, I don't have time for that. Young woman says. I said, you better. I said, you know where you're going to go when you die? Oh, yeah. I know where I'm going. Where are you going? She said, I'm going to hell. In fact, I expect to drive the bus down there. I said, really? I want to tell you something, young lady. You don't know the same God that I know. And he's an eternal God. And he's a just God. You don't play around with that. That's death. But you can have life if you know Jesus. Father, I try to lay out your heart for others. Get us out of our lethargy. Might we have that burning picture of people marching to an eternity. Life can change so quickly, Lord. In a moment, a person's life can be required of them. Mankind thinks that we got days, weeks, years. But God, life is short. Eternity is forever. With you or apart from you, a death sentence for those who don't trust you. God, help us to see Jesus and how he died to set us free, gave his life. Greater love hath no one than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus did that. And for that I give you thanks. In the name of Christ.
Please stand with me as we sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Despair like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Love has brought me here again, kneeling at your cross, my friend. Search my heart that you might be the King of all sufficiency, the King of all of me.
Jace, can you put the words up?
Blood has washed this soul of mine, covered me another time. Cleanse my heart so you can be the King of all sufficiency, the King of all of me. The King of all of me. The King of all of me. And in my heart you'll always be the King of all of me. Grace has filled this empty soul, broken vessel you've made whole. In my heart you'll always be the King of all sufficiency, the King of all of me. The King of all of me.
Thank you for singing. You may be seated.
As we come to the sharing of the Lord's table, I just want to remind you about something. What you're about to do in no way has any saving merits in it. You know, the people have been brought up in a lot of places, a lot of churches, to believe that that it's a sacrament, that it has saving power. It doesn't. The blood of Jesus, the body that was broken for us, was done once and for all. What you're going to partake of today is not literally the body and the blood of Jesus. You don't have to be an English scholar to know the meaning of words or illustrations. When Jesus took bread and he held it up and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." He was not saying that this has just become my body. He's saying it's a symbol of what's going to happen to me. And we're reminded that that night, Jesus did not partake. He said, "I won't do this until." See, he was on a mission. He knew what lie ahead of him the next few days. He was going to a cross. There his body would be broken. It was actually being broken before he ever got to the cross. He was bearing that all the way. What a terrible death. Sin has its consequences. I watch people who die as a result of bad living. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty. Jesus' death wasn't pretty. And it wasn't because he lived bad. It's because he bore all of ours. Jesus took it for us. For you, for me. And the Apostle Paul reminded us, he said, "I received of the Lord that which I passed on to you." That the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. Tony, would you thank the Lord for the bread?
Father, we are about
do this in remembrance of him. Let's partake together, please. In like manner, or in the same way, after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Again, it's all about the remembrance. John?
Father, we partake in the symbol of your death. Help us to remember what it represents. It represents your blood. What
Amen.
Does blood represent? Blood is the price to be paid for. Sin. It's the penalty. It's the propitiation. It's the cost of our sin. And your son shed his blood, and because he did, we don't have to shed our blood. You look upon us. Your word tells us that you know better. We know better. When we stand before you, we are in him. We will be looked upon as righteous. We will be as if we had never sinned.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible thing. It's a remarkable thing. And we thank you for it. And we ask you to help us to remember that truth as we share in this symbol of his death. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
the new covenant, something brand new. No longer did they have to go and make sacrifices. He was the sacrifice. He gave his life. We do this in remembrance of him. Drink ye all of it. In Mark's gospel, it records for us that after Last Supper, it says they sang a hymn, and then they went out. They went to the Mount of Olives. I woke up during the night last night thinking about today. Woke up about 2:30, and for some reason God had me awake until after 5 o'clock this morning. But a song came to mind, an old hymn, that I think goes with what we're talking about today. And I want to read the words to it. Many of you are going to recognize that. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep for the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for your labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently wend them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. I don't know the situation that you find your life in today. Do you truly know Jesus? Or is it all up here? If you say, I think I do, you're not there. Because according to God's word, you can know. And if you don't know today, I want you to know that I'm willing. I'm standing back there. I'll step aside with you, and I'd love to speak to you about Jesus and his love for you, because I know that love, and I want you to know it too. And if you've been one of the erring ones, not doing what the Lord wants you to do, I'd love to pray with you too. So it's in your lap. You do it. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to share today.
Please stand with me. Let's close with Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to beyond the river.
I see all the, we did things a little out of order today, and I see all the deacons saying, we got to take up the offering, we got to take the offering. Maybe we'll just skip it today, huh? Okay, no, I guess not. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the bounty that you give us. You are a bounteous God, and we are a blessed people. And we thank you for this opportunity to show our appreciation for your bounty by sharing it with you, really, and for the furtherance of your gospel and for the purposes of your kingdom. And we ask it and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you. We're not quite dismissed yet because we have a couple more things to do briefly. First of all, I don't have Tom's permission to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Tom Richardson is going to have surgery this week, and so I would like just all, I think it's Thursday, I'd like us all to remember him in prayer. And Tom, I'm going to ask you if you would pray for our brother Tom. And one more thing, I'm going to ask Sharon to pop up and come forward. Sharon is on her way to Uganda. I was going to think of another country that began with you, and I knew it wasn't Uruguay. So she's on her way to Uganda on a missions trip. And I just want to call the elders and the deacons forward. Yeah, come on, come forward, and because we're gonna stick around anyway afterwards for a 10-second meeting. And let's just let's pray for Sharon. Deacons and elders, stay right there. You're dismissed. Thank you very much.